Hey everyone, welcome. We're starting a few minutes late because I had one of those things where I turned on Zoom and it just spontaneously updated and took bloody ages. But you know what? Mercury retrogradey thing, it's all good. And it's just come up saying my connection isn't quite stable. So I apologize if this is a little clunky as we get going. I'm just going to show things just to help, hopefully, take some of the pressure off the pipe. Let's get here before we start, yeah? Just want to invite you to kind of feel your feet on the floor. It feels good to you. And just your bum in your seat. Let your hips kind of swivel a little. It always makes my back click. Just let your shoulders slump. You may want to stretch your neck a little. Just feel that ease of being in your chair. Notice if you're feeling any tension in your jaw. You may want to give that a little rub. Just let yourself get here. Notice any tension in your body. Just invite that part of you to soften. Notice any thoughts or emotions that are swirling about you. Invite them to park themselves, that you'll get back to them later. So how your energy feels today, whether it feels quite high and expansive, or perhaps you feel a little lower, a little flatter. Think of all the very well showing up exactly as you are today. None of us have met you today. So we get to see you for the first time. It's a nice energy to meet yourself as well. Who am I showing up as today? And when you're ready, just give your feet a little wiggle. Bring yourself here. I've missed you. As you probably know, I was back home in New Zealand for a couple of weeks. It was my first visit home in over 10 years. And the last time I was there was a few months, and I was not my best self. So to go back a decade later, to feel like I've had several lifetimes go past since the last time I had my feet in the sand of a New Zealand beach was, it was quite the trip. So I feel like I'm coming back as a slightly different person as well. And seeing you here. And since we last chatted, you had East families, you may have had all of that going on. You may have had more kind of activity than perhaps you normally do. So I just wanted to kind of open by inviting you to really just think about, you know, how has that maybe impacted your experience of yourself? How are you finding you are being with yourself? What's shaking? And if you know you would like to bring something to our circle, please feel free to say so either in the chat or just raise your hand. Let us know what's going on. What's good in your world? What's feeling challenging? Hear from you have. Hey Esther, it's pretty exciting. Do you want to talk about it?
I don't know. I think I'm just, it's not for a job, it's for a course. So it's slightly different. But yeah, I suppose I'm just bringing a whole mixture of things today. I'm excited, but there's also that feeling of what if I don't get on? But yeah, I'm sort of all right with it. I know that feels a bit strange to say, but I just think I am where I am at the moment, and if it's not right for this time or if it's not right for me, then so be it and I'll find something else.
Yeah. I'm curious about that part of you that's like, what if I don't get on? What can you say more, or would you like to just say more about what that's about?
I think it's a mixture of things. I think it's that I think it's a mixture of I want to belong to this, mm-hmm. and I'm worried I might not.
Right.
And it's also, can I do it? Will I be any good?
Yeah.
And it's been a really long time since I've done anything like that. So
yeah,
it feels brave.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, it feels very brave. And notice, right, those messages from that protector part of you. What if I don't belong? What if I'm, you know, what if I don't do it or I'm not good at it? Does it make sense to you why they might be there?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think I'm also at a point where I just think the pain of not doing things is real. So if I had to choose one or the other, I'd rather try and fail than just miss out.
Yeah.
With the what ifs. I think that the balance has tipped for me. When I was first at work and things, I was quite scared of doing stuff. And so some things I didn't do, but I just think I've got to a different point in life now where I just think I have to do stuff. I have to try. I can't live with the idea of not trying.
You know, I love that you're saying that thing of the risk is of not doing something is and what that might look like is greater than the risk of, you know, not being perhaps exactly what you hope for, or there may be setbacks along the way. And you know, I'm just reminded so much of, you know, what we've been talking about all this year of that kind of all or nothing, right? We want things to go a certain way, and we make it wrong if they don't, right? And so that can lead to all kinds of expectations of ourselves and things we can't control and all of that jazz. And it strikes me that at some point, most of us, and this, I think this is why people sign up for this kind of program, right? Is you go, it's not actually safe to hold back. Mm-hmm. Even though there's a part of me that feels like, you know, I need to hold back. We get so frustrated with that part that something in us, I think it's our healthy adult self, just says, we've got to do something different. There's probably more for us in this life, right? Let's give it a go. And I think at some point, and I always listen out for people who say things like, what's the worst that can happen? Or, you know, I'm just going to bloody do it, or something along those lines. Like, I can't not do this. And I think sometimes that is us just egging ourselves on, encouraging ourselves to do this thing that matters. Yeah.
And strangely, I think it almost doesn't matter what happens today, because I'm just quite happy to have got to this point.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? Like, even if this turns out to actually not be what you thought it was or what you hoped it might be, how great to know that.
Hmm.
Other than do it, this is the perfect time to figure that out. Yeah. So, you know, for me, this comes to like what a gift failure can be. If we fail fast, we save ourselves so much time and energy and money and effort, you know. So I always think job interviews, it's like, you know, and you know, interviews like you're talking this right for me, rule it out quickly. You know, yeah. Do you want to share, Esther, what the course is about? I'm just nosy and curious.
I'm sort of in the process of looking at two courses, actually. Why do one when you can do two? So I'm the one today that I'm speaking to someone about is somatic coaching course. Because I've been on a journey with a somatic coach myself, and I can't not see everything through that lens now, it would seem. and the other thing is an MSc in applied positive psychology. Yeah, I'm just a big geek, really.
I totally relate. Yeah, amazing. And, you know, as I hear you say that those things out loud, those courses out loud, I just think, oh my God, yes, totally. I can see you either. Yeah, feels like a very natural fit for you.
Mm.
Do you know, you're the third person this week that said, I think I'm going to go back to uni. Like my best mate who has gone through all kinds of the fucking, and yeah, she's just decided I'm going to go back and do something. And I just think, yes.
Yeah.
So cool. Amazing. We're all waiting for you.
Thank you.
So good. Thanks, Esther. How cool. Isn't that interesting, though, that idea of what Esther's talking about? Point, and that this is the way our healthy adult self just says, okay, enough now. Let's do this. We've got a vision for our lives. We've got a plan or something that wants to emerge. Some program or idea or business or course or that is emerging. And to not pursue it is actually worse. Yeah. And at that point, I think our protector kind of goes, oh, I can't because that I think almost stops us from feeling as safe as our protector wants us to feel. It's like discomfort at not following the thing that is just as holding us back. Really cool. So fun. Okay. Anyone else want to bring anything today? What's going on?
I'll bring a quick thing. Just as I was reflecting on hearing, sounds really exciting, and wish you all the best of luck with the meeting/interview. I definitely started this program thinking that there would be a big thing that you were talking about, and what's been interesting is that actually what has emerged from my healthy adult self is that things are pretty good as they are, or at least I was feeling stuck, but it wasn't like I needed to completely transform my life. I sort of needed to all the things that I've been talking about, really. So, little things, actually, wearing the clothes that I make, that I'm drawn to, dyeing my hair, sort of appreciating the things that I enjoy to do, which is just having free weekends to kind of potter around and do crafty things and go for coffee. And instead of sort of wrestling with this, do I need to have children or pursue a lofty career? Or, it's actually that. I found a new satisfaction, I think, in kind of really embracing who I am and what I'm interested in. And there is, maybe this is a kind of period of rest where I'm not doing very much and something big will come out of this. But at the moment, I'm feeling much more satisfied with what I have.
I love that so much. I love hearing that, Kate. I mean, and it's so fascinating to me, isn't it, how our culture is expand, grow, be more productive, more, all of this. Actually, those tells us are usually quite far away from what we actually want, brings us satisfaction.
Yeah, and so I think I guess I've been really forced to notice what brings me satisfaction. And also I've just sort of followed, I had a real craving to just downsize a lot of the content I was consuming. And I've deleted my Twitter account and my Facebook account. And I'm still on Instagram to sort of lurk a little bit, but I've stopped posting because it was really influencing even what I made, because I was thinking about how to photograph it and how to get the most likes and, now I have to do reels. And it seems such a silly thing, but even just deciding not to do that has allowed me some space to, notice more what I like for me rather than for an audience. And also, I guess a bit sort of beyond that, I had sort of fallen into this trap of maybe I don't want a big thing, but if I'm going to sort of focus on this kind of smaller life, I need to be documenting it and I need to be posting and I need to somehow be telling a story in that place. And I'm like, oh, I could just be a person. So, yeah.
I just love this so much. You know, one of my teachers, Martha, said, you know, I should be less stressful and more joyful. And how do we do that? If my life was less stressful and more joyful, what would I need to do differently? What I need to think and feel differently? How would that work? And it's such a beautifully simple concept.
Yeah,
it's really complicated to bring it to life,
and it brings up a lot of guilt for me. I think probably for everyone, when you think like, oh, everybody around me seems really stressed, I should be like, if not pursuing that, sort of pretending to be, rather than saying, oh, actually, I'm just gonna like mooch around an art gallery and have a coffee and yeah.
Yeah. I think this is just a beautiful permission slip for you and everyone who's here and watching the recording.
Yeah.
That I make that really help to simplify and move us towards satisfaction and joy. And you're allowed to have that. We're not here to work freaking hard, pay the bills, and then die. Like, that's probably not the purpose.
I mean, I know that, and yet I'm still thinking, oh no, I need to be doing more belief busters. I need to be like finding the things. But yeah, at the moment, I'm just sort of ticking along. Oh, and yeah. I mean, this is still just like an incredibly useful space to reflect on these things, even if I'm not doing the workbook every week. So yeah. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah. And I love that so much, because the thing is, all of this, everything we talk about here is basically supporting you to get to a place where you're like, I just want to mooch around an art gallery, and I'm going to, right? Like literally, that's the point.
Yeah, yeah. So why is then when you get to that point, you're like, I must be missing something. It should be harder. But yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to trust it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that thing, isn't it? We've talked about this a little bit. Like, there's no there. He is good. He is good. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there is this kind of cycle that happens in our life. Yeah. Of change and difference and periods of sameness, you know, and when we're in a place of sameness, it's like, ah, things are flowing and it feels good and safe and easy, and there's, we know who we are, and then life and something will come along and there will be difference. Feel that sponda, which is, you know, what the Sufis call that kind of energetic kind of pull to go, I want to do that. I'm going to sign up for this course, right? Or I'm going to, oh, bugger it. I am going to date. I'm not over everything, right? I do believe in love. Something else like the thing I want to do. And then we're in a period of difference and all our shit will come up, right? To ask to be looked at, and we'll feel all those feelings of, oh, can I do this? And will I be okay? But it's in that period of difference, as we move out of sameness and into different, of our, that's where we get to do the growing and the, who am I in this, you know? And hopefully when you feel resourced, where you've got some tools and some ideas to a belief buster toolkit, that kind of thing, to go, hang on a freaking minute, I can make voices here. So that difference allows you to expand in a way that feels perhaps less scary and jarring than it might have in the past. Yeah, love it. Nice, Kate. Yes, Lavette, trusting the flow. Yeah, love it so much. That quote, the niacinan quote, I was thinking of that as Esther was talking. I love that you shared that. Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. Livette, is it okay for me? How I think to stay? How are you doing? Are you able to share anything if you want to?
Sure. I'm just reminded life is not a sitcom. No. It's not like this big silver lining kind of, you know, I think I'm realizing, not to hang so much on hope, really, and to have this healthy adult self that's grounded, kind of like a lighthouse, you know, when things crash and realizations happen. And my mom's kind of one example of how to never face your stuff and work with your stuff in life, and how to kind of drown everyone around you. And then when you have that as a family member, you're like, okay, so I can have virtually no family members, or I can deal with this. And then you kind of realize there's just a really high price to deal with this, even low contact. So yeah, it's complicated. I think honestly, I have a new therapist because I have complex PTSD. Just when I was growing up, there was enough going on that my nervous system developed maladaptively. And so as I do coaching, as I do therapy, as I work on myself, there's still like a really hard root that won't come out because I grew differently. Like I'm kind of picturing like a tree, right? That grows in a weird environment, and it grows a certain way. And so that's what I'm looking at, and dealing with my physicality in that, and boundaries in that. But, you know, there comes a point where you can't have boundaries with someone that just really will never honor them. So yeah, so it was sad. There's, you know, there's some grief in there. I wasn't tremendously close to my mom, but it was wonderful to see my husband get on this, you know, be on the same page as me. And he needed to enforce the boundaries because she just can't hear them from me because I'm the scapegoat in the family. Anything I say really doesn't matter. And so, yeah, it's being really big and really taking up presence, and the healthy adult self saying enough is enough. You know, I've tried with these people for my family of origin for 50 years and they're not going to be good to my kids. You know, she's not able to be a healthy grandma. So it's been you know, I did all this good work leading up to it, and it was even more tremendous work, you know. So it's weird and complicated, but I'm good in growing and changing and shedding, and, you know, yeah. It's my weird answer.
I just really honor that warrior part of you that is drawing the lines in the sand. And it sounds, the way you're describing this, you're doing that with, and like, I think so, how great it is to be met by your partner in this.
Yeah. 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 It's, you know, there was a poster. There's like an arts warehouse that a lot of people rent space from locally by me. And somebody outside of one of their rooms or one of their studios has this poster that says, you know, that it says, the trouble is you think you have time. And that's kind of what my healthy adult self is saying in all this, is you need to stop dancing around your family of origin stuff and be done with them. and let them go, because you don't have time and it takes a lot of energy and a lot of recuperation, and you'll never, there is no way to communicate well. You will not be heard, and they will move heaven and earth not to hear you. And they have not chosen therapy, and they have not chosen health, and they're not going to. And you can't survive in their world, and you need to be out completely. And yeah, and this healthy adult self being robust and coming forward, and I'm just feeling like there's not a lot of time left. I'm, you know, 50. There's no time for me not to live in my healthy adult self anymore. So excited to be here doing this work. How amazing. And you can't do it by yourself too, is what I'm learning. You need probably one-on-one work with somebody, and you need some group support, and you need to surround yourself with people that are on the same journey. And then,
you know, what's coming to me, I'm reminded of something. I think I have a similar dynamic with my father as you're describing with your mother. And I remember a dear therapist who so helped me make sense of this. Once said, you can't heal yourself enough to heal this dynamic, because it's a relationship. It doesn't matter how healthy you get. If it's one-sided, the thing will always tip over. It's just like, hey, I think there was some part of me that was like, if I can just, you know, if I can just. And I think, you know, that's the thing that keeps us locked in, that feeling of there is always something to fix.
Yeah, and your whole life will like fritter away.
Yeah, yeah.
And it'll always be hard, because this, you know, I hear a theme of us all struggling. Well, maybe not all, but a lot of us struggling with just societal messages. And so, of course, it's never okay to abandon your family of origin. Or as my mom is now aging, what is she gonna do without her kids? You know, she's a widow now. What's going to become of her? And I have to detach to the point where I can't help you, because you're going to drown my own life. But that'll never be okay. Like, you know, it's even in a group here where people are very empathetic and stuff, I'm sure there's still a good amount of cringe. I mean, it's interesting. This healthy adult self almost has to go against cultural messages time and time again. Like, you have to just seeing that picture of that lighthouse again, where you're kind of your own structure in the world, and you can see others like that, but there needs to be an inherent strength that you trust in time and time again to make countercultural decisions. Which is hard.
And you know, there's always going to be someone who thinks you've done it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the least qualified person to be in charge of your decision making. So to me, the courage to walk away from anything that does not feel like peace. Yeah. Any cultural message that does not feel like peace to you is worth walking away from. It's not going to serve you. So me, there is an element of true rebelliousness in this work. That it is not just about you know, and I hear and really honor the whole like fringe itself, help and self-care and all of that shit. And yet we've still got it. There is a true rebelliousness in questioning anything that feels wrong to you. Even if that questioning leads you to agree with it, because that feels true. Like that many of us learn and grow and all of that. But the true rebelliousness for me comes in saying, oh, everyone is saying that women my age, women of my belief system, women in my community, blah, blah, blah. Whatever I need to do this, I should do this, and that does not feel like peace to me, then the courage to say, I hear and that's not for me. That's what I'm hoping that everyone takes away. Because that courage is not that you to all kinds of things. So yeah, just really honoring you, Livette, and your courage. And hell yes to weird trees. They're my favorite humans. They grow like weird trees. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, weird trees are gorgeous. You're like, wow, look at those knots. It's...
Right. Right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, I'm with you. Thank you for sharing.
Thanks for asking.
I've been thinking of you as I've been spending quite a lot of time. Beautiful. Anyone else want to share anything that's coming up for them? So if you're willing, I have a homework experiment for everyone, if you feel like it. I've just been playing with this. So see how this lands for you. I've been playing with there's a lot of shifts and change going on in my wider family, and it's making me feel quite unsettled, and there's a lot of unknowns at the moment. So one of the ways I've been kind of coming back to my healthy adult self is to look for the good. And to this is to not try and polish the turds, right? If that makes sense to people. Like, it's not about bypassing the crap. It's genuinely about finding what's good. What are you grateful for? What actually feels special? And an example I just thought I would share with you, a friend of mine has a small holding up in the Highlands of Scotland, and they had a fire over Easter, and they lost a big barn. Some mice chewed through the wires, and they lost this big they're keeping equipment and 10 years worth of tools and all kinds of supplies and things. And she sent out a note to people that are in her community just saying, and this was awful, and I can tell you how heart-wrenching it was to see in flames. Volunteers staying on the farm at the moment, and they both happened to be volunteer firefighters in France, and they knew exactly what to do to contain the blaze. And my favorite gardening gloves were outside the barn. Thank goodness they were safe. And a foster kid who is a teenager, he brought his friends home and they helped clean up some area outside the barn. And it was just this really quite moving experience of, even in the midst of what is a tragedy, it's like they can both coexist, right? And I wanted to share this because I think what can happen when the unexpected or the uncertain or unwanted stuff is going on is that we kind of go into that all or nothing. And what is also to be grateful for? What are you also glad about, that is going on alongside any of the tricky, difficult stuff? And for anyone who is kind of in this place of like, you know, looking along, it's wider, look at the state of the world, look at the state of our beautiful planet, you know, it's like, oh, there are existential threats that we are all alive for right now. What are you also grateful for? And it doesn't matter how big or small it can be. My gardening gloves made it outside the fire. It can be, oh my goodness, I got to watch blue whales that are alive right now on this the Attenborough documentary, right? Like it all counts. And it's more because the feeling of gratitude is associated with really good hormonal experience. And Esther will know this, right? There is this very big relationship between what we allow in our world and how our body responds. So when you allow yourself to experience it, serotonin and dopamine and endorphins, that happens because you're taking the time to acknowledge the things that bring you joy. I thought this might be something that you would want to adopt. Try it for a week. Find a few things, maybe 3 to 6 things. What I'm doing is at night, just sort of reflecting on my day and finding 3 to 6 things that I'm like, oh, I'm grateful for that. I'm happy. Or that experience was part of my day. And I'm noticing a much more, I don't know, there's just a sense of like steadiness in and amongst a little bit of uncertainty and discomfort. So if you want to play with it as an experiment, please take it on. It may or may not work. More satisfaction, more joy, more aliveness. You know, Kate is our poster child for this, right? So this is a way to maybe access some of that. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that might be us for today. Thank you so much for bearing with what seemed to be a little bit of a shaky connection. From my end, and you're recording, it's nice and clear, and you get to see these gorgeous faces as I am. And yeah, yes, Esther, I love that. Noticing the neutral things can be really beneficial. Yeah, completely. Completely. It doesn't have to be, oh my God, right? Double rainbow. It's just, you know, okay, cool, hot coffee, love it. Neutral. Okay, my loves. Yeah. Kate's cat is a superstar. Just love it. Yeah. Grateful always for the cats. Okay, everyone. Lush rest of the day. Thank you for sharing a little bit of it with me. Good luck, Esther. We'll be thinking of you. Yeah. Okay. Take care, everyone. See you. Bye-bye.